Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word and your spirit that is with us and continues to speak to us through the pages of history and the spirit at work in our lives today. May we hear it not just with understanding, but may we also hear it as your truth spoken to each one of us individually. And may we have the will and the courage to live it. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. It's amazing to think what we remember sometimes. 2 years ago, my high school marching band had a 40th reunion of our marching in the Tournament of Roses Parade in Pasadena in 1974. And of course, it coincided with the 40th anniversary of my class's graduation. We had a reunion at the same time on a different night. And the reunion of the band was a wonderful time. We all shared memories of that trip. It was wonderful that our band director was able to be with us, along with his wife and some of the other people, adults who had gone with us on that trip. For some of us, as I remember, myself included, it was the first time we'd ever flown on an airplane. We flying from Dayton, Ohio to Los Angeles. We spent a day at Disneyland having fun, and then that night we put on our band uniforms and marched in Disney on parade as we wound our way through the park. The people were up close, it was dark, the spotlights were playing out over the band and the crowd, and we were just so excited. Half the band got 2 beats in front of the other half of the band. Needless to say that when we got back to the buses, the director sat us down on the pavement and had a long talk with us because he was so worried that that was going to happen in a day or two when we marched in the Tournament of Roses parade. And it was interesting for me because when I reminded some of my bandmates at that reunion, they didn't remember it. Memory is a fickle thing. We may choose to remember some things, or we may choose to forget them, or because of our psychological makeup, whatever. I don't know. But sometimes we remember things, and sometimes we don't, for whatever reason. Remembering is important, but we have to be careful about what we remember. The old saying is true. Those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. But it's also important to be careful in choosing what we wish to remember. Both Nehemiah and Luke, our two readings from those books today, involve remembering. But what is remembered is different in that one has negative connotations and the other one has positive ones. But let's look first at the story of Jesus' return to Nazareth. Jesus has just come out in from the desert where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. He returns home, sits in the synagogue, called up to read from the scroll. It's the Isaiah scroll. He chooses the passage that we heard read. And he reads it. And then he rolls up, gives it back to the attendant, and he says to all the people there, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your presence." Now, I have a hunch that a number of people in that synagogue did not see or hear what Jesus said. Because they were busy sitting there remembering. Remembering that this was Joseph and Mary's son who had grown up in their town, in their midst. This was the hometown boy who they knew when he ran with other boys. This is the hometown boy they knew when he pulled out the girl's hair and so on. How hard it must have been for them to see those verses from Isaiah in the person who read them when they knew him so well. You know, our memories can cause us to miss seeing reality in front of us. sometimes can cause us to put blinders on and see only what we expect to see. And this came home to me in a profound way. And it's profound enough that I still remember it. A year or two after I became your pastor here, one time I was talking with my mom, who was an elder in the church in Richmond, Indiana, where I grew up. And at that time, they were looking for a pastor. And my mother said that some people in the church had approached her and said and wondered if I would be willing to be considered to be their pastor. And this was a church, like I said, that I grew up in, but I was also ordained in. And in a flash of insight, I said to my mom, "Mom, how much authority do you think I would have with people who change my diaper?" She laughed, and she understood. Because you see, it's hard to let past images go and to see a new reality, as the people who sat in that synagogue on that day that Jesus read. We turn now to Nehemiah. Now, these people had just returned from exile to Jerusalem that no longer has walls and no longer has a temple. They're both in rubble. Just like the temple was in ruins when the author of Luke penned the Gospel of Luke, because it was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. A Methodist minister, the Reverend David Jones, writes, "A hard-nosed administrator named Nehemiah and a scribe named Ezra stepped up and organized a series of urban renewal projects that included building a new temple and new city walls. When the work was finished, everyone in Jerusalem, including the children who were old enough to understand, gathered in the town square. The Israelites were safer now and they had a place to worship. But the situation was still bleak. The Persians still dominated and taxed them heavily. External enemies still threatened them. Internal divisions and injustices still set neighbor against neighbor. The Israelites needed guidance and assurance." Well, they found their guidance when Ezra read to them from the scroll of the law that had been brought from Babylon, but which they had not heard from for a long time. Now, again, the scroll of the law was the first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The most holy books for the Jewish people. And the people had not heard the reading of the law for a long time. It had been lost to them. And in the reading of the law and the giving of the law, they once again remembered their story. They remembered how God had chosen them. They remembered that God loved them and cared about them. They also remembered that they had a responsibility to remember God by listening to God's word and living as God wanted them to. They had just spent a lot of time and energy to repair the walls of the city and to rebuild the temple. And the walls in the temple had been destroyed because they had forgotten God. This is what the words of Isaiah, first Isaiah, were all about. And Jeremiah. They had not remembered. And they had gone into exile. You see, what we do here each week, when we gather in this place, is we remember. We come to remember who we are and whose we are and what our responsibilities to the covenant are. It's easy to think we remember, but many times we don't. Listen to the following. God helps those who help themselves. "This too shall pass. Yea, verily, God wants you to be happy. If you work hard enough, you'll be successful. Follow your heart and believe, and you can do anything. Spare the rod, spoil the child." Many people today think those words are biblical. But they're not. They're not in the Bible. And they're very unbiblical. They wouldn't be a part, many of them wouldn't be a part of the Bible. It's easy to be confused with the world in one ear all the time, or one eye all the time. But we can deal with it if we keep remembering the words of Scripture in the other ear and turn this hearing aid up louder than this one. The church is an institution of remembering. Worship is a ritual of remembering, remembering who we are and whose we are. And that's why what we do here is important. That's why it should be done every day of our lives, not just once a week. 2 weeks ago, I talked about needing space where we could gather and experience our sacred union with God, and the need to do that daily. To remember, to read and remember. It's the only way that we can keep Scripture louder than the world. I recall when my mother's mother, my grandma Tucker, descended into Alzheimer's. I remember that time that I was visiting and went in to see her, and she didn't know who I was. And I had to really work at remembering that I had a history with this woman who didn't know who I was. This woman who had typed my high school papers. This woman who joined us every Christmas morning, was waiting sometimes out in the driveway before we got even up. This woman whose grass I had cut for so many years. I would hate to forget that I was a beloved child of God. I would hate to forget that there was one who guides me in the difficult times of my life, and that I don't need to go through them myself. It would be awful to not know how to live our lives because we did not remember to check in with God. You see, this is why the people in our story from Nehemiah were so emotional. It was like a breath of fresh air. We remember. We need to follow God. God cares about us. We remember now. They had forgotten. And now they remember. Amen.